Yeah. Can you do a little roll call, tell us who's online here?
Sure. From the CCN Assault, we have Hugo Akiri, Becky Burr, Christy Spain, Stephen Deerhake, Eberhard Lisse, Nigel Robert. From GAC, we have Frank March. From Liaisons, Cheryl Langdonore. And from Staff Support and Special Advisors, we have Yapa Akuhos, Bart Boswinkle, Kim Davies, Christina Nordstrom, and Bernie Turcott. Apologies from Martin Boyle, Dottie Sparks LeBlanc, Patricia Poblete, Carlos Miranda, Bill Semick, and Keith Davidson. That's it.
On behalf of Dottie, I would say she has the hurricane coming her way, so she's kind of battening down the hatches.
Hmm. Okay, well, that's a good excuse. Okay, so in terms of the agenda, which was previously sent around, any additions, changes, comments?
None, Becky. Tell Chris put down the glass of wine and ask what he's talking about.
Chris, sorry, we didn't hear that.
Chris is in Oslo. It's 6 a.m. there.
Yeah, really. It's too early to be drinking wine, but, you know, okay. All righty, so we'll take that as a confirmation of the agenda. We have the meeting report from the 9th of August, which is up on the screen. Any additions, changes, comments? I will take that as an approval. All righty. Bernie, I'm going to let you take us into the discussion of revocation, which Nigel and I, it will just be a prologue. It will be a continuation of the conversation that Nigel and I have been having.
Okay, I'll take myself off mute and I'll probably work a lot better.
Excellent.
Keith did manage to get a document out to the list. Did everyone get that?
Yes.
Okay, so maybe instead of plowing through the document, I'll actually try to get a PDF version of that up. Christina, can you make me a presenter, please? And we can work off of that.
This is Bernie talking, right?
Yes.
You already are a presenter.
Okay, I couldn't see that in my interface. Apologies. All right. Final new text document.
Somebody breathing heavily.
That'll be the heavy breather.
Yeah, I guess so.
I'd like the record to note that I was here for the entire meeting rather than just the first hour. And no, I'm not the heavy breather, thank you.
You disappoint me.
All right, guys.
Are you Stephen or Stephen 2?
Well, I see Stephen's there. Yeah, it's just me.
All right.
I'm asking for a correction. The minutes from the last meeting to show I was there for the entire meeting instead of for the first hour.
Well, you say that. I mean, how do we know?
Because I was there. Passing gas at the meeting.
Prove it. Prove it, man. Well, prove it. Prove it.
Well, I'm willing to take Stephen's word for it. But,
yeah, I think we should do that.
All right, so we.
I don't know. That might be a critical mistake. Who knows?
Sometimes you just have to go with it.
I actually was planning to leave after the first hour, but it was so entertaining I had to stay around for the second.
Okay. Almost there, guys.
In the meantime, can anybody hear me?
Yes, Everhard, I can hear you.
Okay, because the I have upgraded my Apple to Mountain Lion, and Adobe Connect doesn't work there anymore properly.
Ah.
Yeah. Neither is my daughter's iPhone, so go figure that.
I knew there was some advantage to Mountain Lion.
We have a very, very bad echo.
Yeah, it just started.
It's only about five times.
Echo from whom?
Well, that's an extremely good question about
it. It's a good question, although it did seem to start once you started talking, Everhart.
I'm gonna mute myself.
I thought it was mine, but then I hung up and dialed back in.
I am now using
the text that Keith sent around on the Adobe Connect at this point for the
echo.
The mic on. Right,
can everybody everybody who's not talking, so everybody but Bernie, mute for a second just so we can figure out what's going on?
Becky, this is Christina. I think it might be that somebody doesn't have muted their computer speakers if they're also on the phone.
Okay. Anybody who has their computer speakers on? Oh, good. Whoever did it. Well, whatever happened, it just ended.
And they're off.
Okay. In Adobe Connect, you've got the little speakers on top of the interface window. You can turn them off. Okay. So we've got the text here for those.
Let us carry on. It's 1:20 in the morning, my time. I want to go to sleep.
Okay, we're carrying on.
It's your same time, so you understand my dilemma.
Yes, I certainly do. So this is the text that Keith sent out earlier or late yesterday at this point. And we've agreed to have a look at it to beat up on substantial misbehavior since Nigel and Becky could not agree to a definition offline. So,
wow, okay.
Although we had a full and frank discussion.
Productive.
It would have been, as a point of record, it would have been nice to have seen some of this disagreement in the run-up to this meeting, I guess.
Well, maybe we can just... Nigel's on, I know. So maybe here's what the... I had originally proposed a definition of substantial misbehavior that keyed off of the material and repeated failure to perform the tasks that are identified as the responsibilities or the repeated and material failure to perform those tasks in a just, honest, and equitable manner. And I think Nigel and I agree that the standard should be something more than sort of inadvertent incompetence, and that, you know, that there should be an assumption that, you know, if somebody's just got it wrong, they're going to have an opportunity to correct it. I guess that question really is, so if you see the substantial misbehavior on the definition that that Bernie has brought up on the screen, I think that the question is that we put the three bullet points here. One is the repeated and material, and I think Nigel would add deliberate failure or unwillingness to support necessary responses. repeated material failure to perform those responsibilities in a manner that is equitable, just, and then we have the question about whether competence
You're breaking up to the point where I can't hear you.
Okay, sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's better. And the heavy breather is definitely on the line. If you're not talking, can you please mute? Thank you.
And then the third would be the deliberate and or bad faith operation of the CCPLD in a manner that causes substantial harm or material adverse effects to the, and then there's a question of whether it's the relevant or affected or local internet community. So Nigel, do you want to sort of express sort of your concerns about this?
Okay, let's see if we can get to the heart of this. I think Becky and I are sort of a hair's breadth apart on this. And I think the reason for this is that, in a way, I think we're probably going at it in the wrong way. The thing is that we should be saying, first of all, that there is a thing called misbehavior, which we'll come back to and define in a second. And substantial misbehavior is misbehavior, if you'll pardon the sort of circular argument, is more than merely... incidentally, it is actually substantial. Now, then what's misbehavior? And a lot of what we've been talking about and what we've put down here is misbehavior. But it's a bit like the old English judge's example of what pornography is, who said something along the lines of, I can't define it, but I know it when I see it. What we're trying to do is to say, in our interpretation, again, we're sort of trying to legislate and saying, if we were writing RFC 5091 today, instead of putting substantial misbehavior, we'd put clauses in that say, if they do this, then IANA will step in. That's not what happened, of course. John and John put substantial misbehavior. And I think that what we should be perhaps doing is to say, is to use the word include, as in substantial misbehavior misbehavior that's more than incidental, it is substantial, and may include examples that we're talking about. If we try and just say this is it, we might even miss out some things that really would be substantial misbehavior. One example I used to Becky was if the CCTLD manager was convicted of murder or manslaughter or something, well, that's pretty much substantial misbehavior, but is it connected to the management of the CCTLD? Well, it depends who he killed. So I'm just going to throw that in for now.
His incarceration for 30 years in jail, thus making him unable to manage the CCTLD, might be relevant, though, Nigel.
I would argue that, yeah, the fact that he's convicted of this.
That depends who put him in jail, yeah? Does that not depend on who puts him into jail?
You're very faint, Eberhard, very faint.
Hi, all, it's Keith here. Sorry I'm late.
Okay.
Keith here.
I think that actually gets right at one of the places where we're just a hair's breadth apart. I think that while, you know, committing murder is not a great thing, for our purposes, the relevant issue is that if he's in jail for 30 years, he can't perform the function.
Sorry, this is not acceptable. It depends who puts him into jail.
Well, no, Eberhard, he can either perform the function or he can't.
Sorry, it's not acceptable. There are countries that are democracies that have a rule of law, and there are countries they are not, and we're not going to condone this.
How do you deal with it?
I don't know yet, but you cannot say, for example, Government X is putting somebody into jail for 30 years, or phoning, or coming to his house with a Kalashnikov, and the guy can phone IANA and say, please take me off the list. Not happening.
Bless you.
Apologies. Thank you.
Well timed.
Saved by the sneeze.
Just putting aside the question of whether he's put in jail or not, because I agree with Everhart that the sort of whether somebody's put in jail or convicted of a crime or whatever, it's very hard for ICANN to be in a sort of position to evaluate that. If the CCPLD is not operating, isn't that a failure to carry out the necessary responsibility?
Yeah.
Vocation in the first place, okay? And I'm saying it's not a problem because you can behave easily. I don't like where this is going. We're delving really very, very far from what is written. Now we substantial misbehavior must have an element of bad faith. Now we're saying if somebody is unavailable, that's substantial misbehavior. I really don't like where this is going.
It's Frank here. Perhaps I can understand Everhart's point of view here, but the issue is the function of can the job be performed or not, and clearly inadvertently because of one reason or another, such as being locked up for 30 years, makes performing of the function impossible. But I would agree that it doesn't come into the definition of substantial misbehavior. It's substantially being unable to perform the function, surely. I don't know if that helps the argument, but taking the term misbehavior out under those circumstances would seem to be appropriate.
I think Nigel has his hand up.
Nigel does. I think I'm going to do my usual reminder here, and thanks to Frank. That's a very helpful intervention. If we were writing new policy, we would be doing certain things, perhaps. But our job here is to interpret the existing words. And the existing words say, use the word misbehavior. And I've thrown a couple of pretty ancient, I think, precedents on the definition of the word misbehavior, and it's connected to malfeasance or misfeasance. The misbehavior in the context of an office, which is effectively what a CCTLD managership is, it's an office of some kind. We've got this expression, trustee for the country or territory, that's in 1591. Without going back down the road of trying to look at whether or not the word trustee had a legal effect or not, it is some kind of an office. So it's misbehavior in that office. Somebody who works in your local DMV and merely does his job badly is not committing misfeasance. They're just doing what's expected of somebody in a DMV. Somebody who takes bribes to give out information about the registered owners of cars when in contravention of the privacy rules is committing misfeasance or malfeasance. There's got to be an element of misfeasance or malfeasance in the definition of the word misbehavior. We might say there are circumstances we'd want it to be different if we were writing this policy from scratch, and we might even identify circumstances whereby the CCNSO might, through a PDP, produce a new policy. But we must simply interpret the words and not say what we think they should be, whether that we want them to be tighter or looser.
Other comments on that? I mean, I just don't know what the, you know, I come at it this from a, I understand what Nigel was saying, but to me, misbehavior has to sort of key on what the expected behaviors are. We spent a significant amount of time discussing what the sort of necessary responsibilities are and the requirements for the way in which those responsibilities are supposed to be carried out. So, you know, if somebody is, you know, with the best of intentions, simply, you know, never has the name server up, that seems to me to be problematic in terms of the sort of basic requirements of what you need to be and what we've all agreed 1591 says you need to be doing to be a CCPLD manager.
Well, as I put my hand up and nobody's speaking.
Okay. I think we have Chris.
Can I ask just for a second, can we go back and look at what the consequences are? What, if I substantially misbehave, what happens?
I am a step in.
And if I substantially misbehave, is there any context provided about that at all?
Well,
if I substantially misbehave by upsetting your Christian values, can you step in there?
That's exactly what I think. I mean, I think we have said a CCTLD operator needs to, you know, operate the name servers, do all of the things, the sort of specific things that we've said, and needs to do them in a competent, just, and honest way.
Yeah.
Ayanna steps in if there's substantial misbehavior.
Okay.
And stepping in means doing everything you can to resolve the problem first before you do anything more drastic.
What about if I'm – so that's what happens if I substantially misbehave, and I think I can see an argument for saying that there has to be a link, a causal link between the substantial misbehavior and my ability to do the job. But there are other ways that Ayanna can intervene, surely. Is it not correct that if I murder somebody and I get locked up, then can they not intervene from a technical point of view? If I can't be found or if I can't be contacted or if the CCTLD itself is not being managed? Aren't there a different set of criteria under different sections of the RFC that they can use?
Everhart, you have your hand up. Anybody else want to take a response to Chris's question?
Yes.
Okay, that was so. Everhart, then Nigel.
Substantial misbehavior is in the RFC document, separate from revocation, and we have agreed initially, over my better judgment, that we might put a link in there because it's easy to behave. Yeah? Now, and that means we have said technically, you keep these things running and so on. If a government of country X puts somebody into jail and said he's misbehaving, redelegate to my son-in-law's cousin because he needs a job, sorry, this is not going to happen. Substantial misbehavior is different from misbehavior in that I think there must be an element of bad faith or malfeasance in there. And that's very important. We are not going to put the language that we are putting in may lead to a revocation to a CCTLD. And if that happens, I want to be sure that I can live with that.
Nigel?
Again, I come back to the possibility that we discussed when we came across this clause in the first place, that the substantial misbehavior applies to the process of appointment of a CCTLD manager. And as I think it's very possible, and I won't say it any stronger than that, from the context of the words. Let's look at the way John Postel thought. He didn't want to be bugged. He didn't want to be bothered. He didn't want somebody coming along 1 or 2 years after that he appointed a CCTLD manager and say, well, I'm a better potential candidate. So the intent of the section that includes the word substantial misbehavior would appear to me to be saying, once I've appointed a CCTLD manager, don't bother me. Now, it would say that if somebody misrepresents a situation during the appointment of a CCTLD manager, that's substantial misbehavior during the appointment process. That's grounds for overturning the thing and going back ab initio and reselecting. I don't think the context of substantial misbehavior is about revocation, because there's a separate section on revocation. But having said that, we've dealt with that by saying it could mean one thing or it could mean the other. Unless we have a real case in front of us and we are a judge in the relevant court, which may be California, it may be somewhere else, I don't know, we can't look at this and say exactly what it means, because we haven't got a real case in front of us. We only got hypotheticals that we put forward. So long as we use the word might include when we define this stuff, we can put almost what we like, and I'm relatively happy. If we turn around and say substantial misbehavior is, and then give a long list, we are policy making. Because it might mean all of that, but it might mean something else as well. Or it might not mean some of what we write, and then somebody takes our words and ICANN follows them, and then we get sued for having written something that was wrong. I think we need to be very careful about this, but this is the heart of the whole process that we're doing. We need to be very careful, and we need to get it absolutely right, no matter how long it takes.
So it's Chris. Nigel, I agree with you, but the challenge here is that the argument you've just built, which is perfectly valid, sounds perfectly valid, is in itself built on your interpretation of what you think John Postel meant. And let's be clear about this. In the event of ICANN redelegating or attempting to redelegate based on the misbehavior or substantial misbehavior of the CCTLD manager, in many cases that is likely to end up in court. And if it does end up in court, it doesn't matter what you think John Postel thought. What matters is how the court interprets the words. And I know that's kind of what you just said. And so my strong suggestion would be that the more we try and define them to suit ourselves, the less likely we are to be on safe ground. We're much better to make obvious statements about what it doesn't mean than try and make positive statements about what it does mean.
I agree with that totally. You can say it doesn't mean if you're locked up for murder of somebody unconnected with the CCTLD that is not substantial misbehavior in the context of RSC 1591. I'm very comfortable with that statement.
Yes, but you're suggesting there that if I murder somebody who is connected with the CCTLD, that is substantial misbehavior.
I think it is.
Well, it depends who they are and what do you mean by connected. And there's a whole raft of problems that arise the moment you go this deep.
I totally agree with that. I think we are probably probing too deep, because as soon as we do this, we either we're either over-defining or under-defining, and maybe in different parts of it we're doing both. You know, what we're doing both of them, one defining one bit and over-defining another.
Okay, can I interject, Keith? I'm wondering if it's appropriate for me to assume chairing the meeting, given that this is Becky's specialist topic, and I think Becky probably wants to debate the topic rather than having to chair. And I think just to highlight a point before we continue with the discussion, you know, there are standards of behaviour exemplified in RFC 1591 So you could only assume, I mean, I think Nigel's right to the extent that we can't create policy, but if the behaviour established in 1591 is abandoned, i.e. you don't maintain a DNS, etc., then you know, there is a judgmental call over whether that's substantial misbehaviour or not. But there is clear guidelines of what behaviour is expected, so misbehaviour must be failing to comply with that, surely.
Misbehaviour.
Well, it can lead you to believe that it is, I think. I'll resile from entering the debate and merely cheering and hand over to Becky, who has her hand raised. So, Becky.
So, thank you, Keith. I completely agree that we should avoid policymaking, and so that's why I come out exactly where Keith was suggesting, which is that, you know, we've debated and I think agreed on what the standard of behavior that's required by 1591, and that you can only look at misbehavior in that context. So, you know, I don't want to have to, I don't want IANA to decide whether, you know, somebody who's murdered is related to the CCTLD or not, or even, you know, whether the court was right in determining that somebody was guilty of murder. I want IANA to refer only to the functions that we've agreed are to be performed.
May I?
Yes, Nigel.
Ah, thank you. That's not me. Let me give you an example from a slightly different context. In the case where, for example, the CCTLD manager might be in the position that you posit the IANA to be in, and the third party might be in the position that you posit the CCTLD manager, and that's where we're talking of the registrar's relationship with a registry. Supposing you have a registrar who is fully accredited and appointed in the normal way, and that registrar decides it's going to try and enumerate the entire .gg zone for its own purposes, whatever they may be, and sets out and tries to, either by hammering the DNS or by hammering the whois, to grab the entire zone. Now, that's misbehavior, and the registry will step in. That's an example of misbehavior that has the necessary element of bad behavior. Misbehavior is bad behavior. It is not simply failing to do your job. That's incompetence. Somebody's snoring.
You have that effect on most of us, Nigel.
Oh dear.
Can we please minute it?
Is it safe?
Can we make a roll call so we find out by exclusion?
I bet
Ernie, it may be Stephen.
It may be Stephen, I think.
Can somebody mute him, please?
I bet his wife says that all the time.
Okay.
Christina, can the operator mute him, or can you mute him?
Yeah, Christina's looking into it. So, thank you, Nigel, for not putting us all to sleep. Does anyone else have any comments then? I can see where Nigel's coming from on this, but I can't fully agree or subscribe, so let's have some further debate. Frank, did you have your hand raised earlier? Did you have something to add?
Yeah, I did, Keith, but I decided that probably it's relevant. It's simply that this issue of malfeasance or misbehaviour, you know, there are all sorts of reasons why a registrar may fail to perform the job, which wouldn't amount to being malfeasance, but which would nevertheless cause severe problems for the registry. And the sole, in other words, the sole malfeasance or misbehavior, substantial misbehavior, may not in fact be the only reason you would want to suspend a particular operator from managing the CCTV. But I think, you know, we've moved away from that. We're trying to define what substantial misbehavior is and not deal with what the consequences of that might be. So that's why I pulled my hand up.
Cool. Eberhard, you have your hand up.
I just looked up the definition of misbehavior, and the Macmillan Dictionary Thesaurus says bad behavior or behavior that offends other people. Okay? I don't have a problem with Ayana stepping in if the incumbent has problems and assists. I have a problem with revocation. I don't think the interpretation of the RFC 1591 can justify this. And we, as I am not opposed to revocation, if somebody behaves properly, we must define very carefully under what condition Ayana can step in. The Ayana function contractor can step in. To revoke. Yeah.
Okay.
It is very, very easy. It is very easy to provide a good, a reasonable technical service to run the DNS and so on. But some incumbents live in countries where the rule of law is not supreme, and we must be very careful to not fall into a big hole here. That's what I'm trying to say.
Okay, so if we had some strengthening of wording around what it means by Ayana stepping in and that revocation is the last of the last resort when all else fails, does that change the approach at all to the way we tackle this?
We need an element of bad faith involved in this, in our definition.
Okay. Okay, Becky, so you have your hand raised.
Yeah, I mean, I think we do have, or at least it was my impression that we had agreed on, maybe not on the exact words, but on the concept that revocation was was the last step. It was not a... You know, it was not to be undertaken lightly and only to be undertaken if the manager was unwilling or unable to correct, you know, serious problems. So I guess I understand the concern that Nigel and Elle are talking about. To me, the proposal to have some kind of abstract concept of misbehavior that is not directly tied to the expected behavior set out in 1591 seems to me to be giving much more latitude to Ayana than I would expect we would want. I am coming at the same concern that Nigel and Eberhard are describing, but I come out in a different way, which is, you know, misbehavior can only be defined in terms of what the expected standard of behavior is. And you know, one, you could have a sort of, it's offensive to people, or whatever the dictionary definition is, but I don't think that we want IANA to say, well, you know, somebody, some manager is behaving in a way that offends people, so we're gonna revoke.
Becky, is it not the case that there is a separate section on revocation, and this substantial misbehavior part is detached from that? So if the CCTLD manager fails to do the honest, just, and competent job, there is a route there, and that the substantial misbehavior is in a different part of the document.
I'm pulling up 1591.
I'm a bit confused because that's what I understood somebody to say earlier on.
Nigel, this is Bernie. The only two sections we're talking about at this point are 3.4 and 3.5. The only place where the word revocation appears is in section 3.5. I think, as Becky just pointed out earlier, we agreed that under 3.4, substantial misbehavior, that although it was maybe not a perfect agreement, but there was an agreement that substantial misbehavior, if we could define it properly, the last resort under that heading of IANA stepping in, did include the possibility of revocation. So there is no section on revocation. There is a section where substantial misbehavior is mentioned, 3.4, and there is section 3.5, where we have the notion that the delegation may be revoked if you're not operating the technical aspects of the domain properly.
Yeah, thanks, Bernie. That's very helpful. I think what we've done is we've got a little bit away from looking at the actual document that we're interpreting, and we've gone to effectively eating on our own document. In circles, iteratively. Let me read 3.4 aloud that Bernie's just highlighted. And this is clearly about the appointment of a CCTLD manager. Significantly interested parties in the domain should agree the designated manager is the appropriate party. The IANA tries to have any contending parties reach agreement on themselves and generally takes no action to change things, unless all the contending parties agree. Only in cases where the designated manager has substantially misbehaved would the IANA step in. Now, it's very tempting to look at the choice of the word substantially misbehaved, which is a verb in the past tense, rather than the word substantial misbehavior, which is what we've been interpreting, because that's in our documents. And then it continues to talk about interested parties to have some voice, etc. And then what to do if there are contending parties where the TLD could be delegated in part to one applicant and in part to another. I'm beginning to firm up on my view that this substantial misbehavior is in the appointment process. And as Chris quite rightly says, we are not that judge with that case in front of us. A judge could quite easily make the other call. But that's my view of 3.4. Then 3.5.
Nigel, can I just, before you move on, because my brain can only hold so much information at one time. If that were correct, then under what basis would you say that it would be possible for ICANN to step in?
Well, first of all, stepping in 3.4 is stepping in the case where ICANN has chosen IANA has chosen a TLD manager, and effectively within a reasonable time thereafter somebody complains there was misbehavior during the application process. In 3.5, however, there's a continuing obligation. 3.5 is the continuing obligation that the designated manager must do a satisfactory job of operating the DNS service for the domain. And really, that's why Becky It's under this heading that I agree with what Becky says about 3-4, if you see what I mean.
So you're effectively sidelining substantial misbehavior to a point where it is only relevant at the beginning of this process, and saying that I can step in the circumstances set out in 3-5.
Actually, no, I'm struggling with this because I don't believe it is obvious what 3-4 means. It could mean what we've been taking it, or should we say what the majority's been taking it to mean, in that the only intervention for revocation is substantial misbehavior. And obviously I can live with that personally. I mean, if you look at it from my personal point of view, I'm quite happy to live with that because I'm not going to misbehave, let alone substantially, as Eberhard puts it. I'm merely trying to interpret the words that are down here, and I'm actually finding some difficulty in this because they are not as precise and consistent as one would wish. I'm merely saying there are two alternative interpretations of it.
Of course, and I think that's one of the issues, and I think us poring over word by word over probably what was not necessarily carefully considered wording in every instance may be sort of wasteful of our efforts. But I am tending to agree with Nigel. I think item 4, actually, the misbehaved statement comes in the middle of deciding the designated manager, and the next paragraph states, however, it is also appropriate for interested parties to have some voice in selecting the designated manager, which is indicating to me that the misbehaviour the concept of misbehaviour can only occur as part of the delegation process and not subsequent to. However, item 5 and 1591 say both the designated manager must do a satisfactory job of operating the DNS, and then finally, in cases where there are persistent problems with the proper operation of the domain, the delegation may be revoked or delegated to another manager. So I think those two things do kind of lead you to think that misbehaviour is only pre-delegation or during delegation. But anyway, Eberhard has had his hand up for some time, so I'll just go to Eberhard and then come back to Nigel.
Yeah.
This is my position, or has been my position all along. Yeah, and I have said, however, because it's easy to behave properly, I'm willing to, I'm not going to die in a ditch on that one, as we said in Dhaka. But what Bernard says is exactly the right thing. We need to be, if we can define misbehavior properly, I don't have a problem. If we can't define it properly, I do have a problem, because we are connecting two things that I don't agree that are connected. For practical purposes, if we can define it in a good way, become. But my position has been all along, misbehavior is, from the text, concerns the behavior during delegation process. Revocation is persistent problems with the operations. Okay? That's an issue where I concede that no bad faith or malfeasance is required. If you're unable to perform your duty for a long period of time, for whatever reason, something needs to be done. And in any case, the contractor will be very careful what they do if the incumbent, for example, in a non-democratic country has been locked up. They won't really say, okay, bad luck, we give it to the jail. But we must be very careful, and I urge caution in what we're doing here.
Sure, and I think, to me, the issue arises here that the concept of persistent problems and then the revocation and redelegation kind of are a much more severe process than if someone's experiencing difficulties or not fully delivering the DNS appropriately, and Iona stepping in to cure that ill, I think there should be no prevention of that. Anyway, back to Nigel.
I think we're actually beginning to achieve synthesis here. The interesting effect, as I'm sure Chris is well aware, is about to point out, the interesting effect of where we're going is that we have an objective test under 3.5 for revocation, and surrounding that, there must, of course, be suitable procedural safeguards, which is probably something that the CCNSO could develop and assist IANA with. But it removes altogether misbehavior, whether it's substantial or otherwise, and however we define it, as being an excuse for revocation, which removes altogether the subjective nature of the what I used to call Saddam Hussein's brother-in-law, but I think history's overtaken me on that one, but I'm going to continue to use it, the Saddam Hussein brother-in-law syndrome, where somebody comes along with the Kalashnikov and says, this guy is substantially misbehaving because he's supporting the opposition. We've locked him up. Therefore, he's substantially misbehaved. IANA, hand over the keys. It removes all that altogether because substantial misbehavior is no longer an element. And the element is simply persistent failure to operate the DNS properly.
Okay. Well, where is that getting us then? Becky, what's your feeling and view of the discussion?
I guess I'm confused because I guess that I thought we had agreed that there was an ongoing responsibility to perform the necessary responsibilities in a competent, fair, and just and honest manner. Maybe we need to step back and just sort of take a pulse on whether, you know, where we came out on that was where everybody still is.
Becky, it's Chris. Sorry, Keith.
Okay, Chris, then Nigel.
I was just going to ask Becky to clarify why is what we might be saying now not is it problematic? Why is that problematic with what you've just said? Are we relying on substantial misbehavior to get that particular piece in?
No, I think that the question is, in the sort of entire document in context, the question is, we've talked about stepping in with revocation as a last step. And the IANA manager is supposed to do everything to help resolve problems with the operation, et cetera, et cetera. So if revocation is a sort of last step measure in stepping in, I don't know how we can limit that to, we can limit substantial misbehavior, because it's only in the case of substantial misbehavior will IANA, you know, step in or something like that.
But I'm sorry, maybe I've missed something here, but how can you link, if you're going to say substantial misbehavior is only relevant at the time of delegation, which I think is in essence what Nigel is saying.
Yeah.
Then it can't be linked to revocation because it doesn't make any sense.
No, I agree, but I thought we had reached a different point in this discussion.
Yeah, but if revocation only is relevant in respect to clause 3.4, then Nigel's argument falls because revocation cannot be linked to substantial misbehaviour if substantial misbehaviour is only of relevance before the delegation.
No, revocation is not part of the. Let's have a look at
yes.
RFC 1591 again.
Good idea.
So, four states, significantly interested parties in the domain should agree that the designated manager is the appropriate party. IANA tries to have contending parties reach agreement among themselves. Blah, blah, blah. Only in cases where the designated manager has substantially misbehaved would the IANA step in. However, it is also appropriate for interested parties to have some voice in selecting the designated manager. So I think that the first and last sentences of those of that particular part of Section 4 are about selecting the delegee for the first time, and the misbehaviour can therefore only apply to that delegation process. When you look to item or part 5 of RSC 1591, it says the designated manager must do a satisfactory job of operating the DNS service for the domain in cases where there are persistent problems with the proper operation of the domain. The delegation may be revoked and possibly delegated to another designated manager. So the revocation and delegation are only associated with doing an unsatisfactory job or persistent problems arising. It has nothing to do with the misbehaviour.
Okay.
I think that's Nigel's point, and it's pretty clear. But anyway, I see Nigel has his hand raised, then Becky. So, Nigel.
Yeah, something that's bugging me here, that although it's not part of the interpretation of these sections, I think it's worth capturing at this stage. RFC 1591 in Section 4 says it is appropriate for significantly interested parties in the main to have some voice in selecting the manager. Well, when we've had new CCTLDs delegated by ICANN in recent months and years, I must admit I don't see the evidence that ICANN has gone out and surveyed the local internet communities to get that input. And perhaps there might be some takeaway that in future applications for new CCTLDs that happens.
Can we park that, Nigel? Because it's only going to take us off down a rabbit hole right now.
I'm not going to discuss it. I don't want to discuss it. I want to park it. But I guess you'd be the appropriate person to have that as a takeaway, right?
Yes.
I think we have had that discussion in the past anyway, Nigel, as part of the delegations and redelegations working group work. So it might be. I'll do some reading and point some substance at that as an aside. But anyway,
I think I've done the job. That's it. I just want to mention that in passing.
Yep. No, noted. Becky.
So I think we're parsing a little too finely here, you know, in a way that's going to sort of lead us back into some problems. Only in the case of substantial misbehavior by the designated manager. Doesn't the designation mean that IANA has agreed? I mean, I understand that the sentences go sort of back and forth, but it seems to me that when you talk about a designated manager, that means not just somebody that the local internet community has sort of nominated, but that because there's a designation and a delegation. So to me, in order to have a designated manager, you have to have gotten past the initial selection process.
Good point.
But I think we've always said that, Kate.
Well, exactly right. So that's why I'm saying substantial misbehavior can't be only about the selection.
But until you've made a selection, you can't step in.
Indeed, but you can't be designated unless you're actually running it.
That's right.
No, that's wrong. No, it's wrong. Designated means this is the one that we think should do it, so we appoint them. Designated doesn't mean appointed, it doesn't mean selected, it doesn't mean elected, it doesn't mean in control. It means designated. Sort of president-elect. But it doesn't mean he is selected. It means the designated manager is, if the local internet community agree on somebody, then I would consider that's already designated. Whether the ICANN contractor has gone through the board approval or not. But if he's appointed, it's different. If the incumbent, it's different.
So, Keith, it's Chris, if I can just respond to Everhard for a second. So, Al, I may get this wrong, but let me try. If what you're saying is correct, then what you're saying is that clause deals with only the very short period of time between when a person or an organization has been chosen or designated as the manager and appointed as the manager. So for me, if that is what you're saying, then that doesn't pass the smell test. Why would you put a whole piece in about substantial misbehavior to simply deal with a period of time that amounts to, you know, days between designation and appointment?
You put it too narrow. If a person raises his hand and is the only one, he is automatically in the application process the designated manager.
Right.
This section from the context applies to the selection process. Again,
how does he substantially...
Let me finish. I am not going to die in a ditch on this one. If we define substantial misbehavior, it's not a problem for me. We don't have to get into the finer points that we are now going to, because this is now getting semantically difficult for non-English speakers. It's important. I'm not trying to go away of it, but if we may be able to solve this by defining substantial misbehavior.
Okay. The entire sentence needs to be read, and it says the IANA tries to have any contending parties reach agreement among themselves, and generally takes no action to change things unless all contending parties agree. Only in cases where the designated manager has substantially misbehaved would the IANA step in. That indicates to me the reverse of Nigel's thinking, or where Nigel was convincing me to think, and that is that this is where there is a dispute over the delegation and the existing manager. The IANA would refer back and say, you're contesting amongst yourselves, go and sort it out amongst yourselves, and only where there has been substantial misbehaviour would IANA get more involved than that. Anyway, I see Hugo has his hand raised, so Hugo, and then maybe we could go to Kim to see if Kim, I think Kim's on the call, and if Kim has any views as to whether or not this has ever been an issue. But firstly, Hugo. Hugo, you must be on mute. We can't hear you. Hugo, we can't hear you. Sorry, Hugo, we can't hear you. If you want to type your comment or question. Kim, has any of this part of RSC 1591 caused you or IANA, to your knowledge, any concerns?
We've lost Kemp.
He's snoring, perhaps.
Okay. Kim, we're not hearing you. Okay, Hugo saying on the chat, designated manager means the specified manager, which I think is consistent. Okay, thanks, Hugo. Nigel, you have your hand raised.
I did, but I put it down because it moved on.
Okay, your hand is still up.
Is it?
Okay, I'm not sure where this leaves us.
Keith, can I make a suggestion?
I need to go to sleep.
Okay, Nigel.
Well, I think where it leads us is perhaps where we should have been all along, in that revocation is governed by Section 5, and that's a pretty objective test, which sort of generally corresponds to what Becky has been putting forward, and where we're going to with substantial misbehaviour. What we could do is simply go back to my original proposal to say misbehavior is misbehavior and substantial misbehavior is misbehavior that's more than just minor.
Okay. Can we determine the opposite of behavior as in the behavior required by 1591 and say that if you don't comply with that, that it is misbehavior?
That's not misbehavior in my English.
No, dear.
Misbehavior is something that is effectively a crime or a breach of duty. It's not merely failing to behave.
But Nigel, you can't seriously think that John Postel sat down and used that word specifically with that definition, surely?
No, but if you take the plain language meaning of it, Chris, misbehavior is a little child not... I was going to use a very scatological example, but you know what I'm trying to say. It's somebody behaving badly. It's not just merely somebody not doing what's expected.
Okay. Let's approach this from another angle then. The designated manager must do a satisfactory job of operating the DNS service. There are then suggestions of what satisfactory might mean. If there is a failure to comply, is that unsatisfactory?
Is that rhetorical, or are you asking me personally?
I'm asking you personally, Nigel.
I'll have to give it. It's pretty early in the morning here. I'd have to give it a little bit more thought. But essentially, what I'm saying is that Section 5 has a fairly objective test. If the manager does not do a satisfactory job, then revocation proceedings, which is not just simply IANA saying, right, as of tomorrow we're switching the switch off, but a proceeding that has procedural fairness built into it, could commence.
Okay.
That's the last resort.
Which, again, it's the last resort, yes.
Well, actually, it's the first resort under 5, and that's the issue I have, that there is no, you know, Section 5 says you must do a satisfactory job, and where there are persistent problems, however minor or niggly they are, but where there are persistent problems, the delegation may be revoked and possibly redelegated. So that is not last resort, that is the steps. So I'm kind of inclined to think that defining the behaviour or what might not be appropriate behaviour is actually providing colour and depth rather than saying, well, whenever there's persistent problems, you must redelegate, which is essentially...
I don't think it says that, Keith.
Well, it kind of does.
Problems have to be more than just minor.
It doesn't say that. It doesn't say small niggly problems, and it doesn't. It says may. It doesn't say you don't do it, it's gone. He's really urged that he starts becoming a little bit more serious about this issue. It's important, and some of us feel very strongly about it, particularly two people who are not there on the call.
Yeah. No, look, I'm just trying to tease out where the real issues are here, because yeah, it seems like we're stuck in a bit of a groove here, and yeah, I want everyone's opinion on the table. I want to understand exactly where everyone's coming from. Anyway, I see Becky has her hand raised, and Nigel and Eberhard. So
I don't have my hand raised. I don't know why. It's still up.
Okay, Eberhard. No, okay, Becky, the floor is yours.
I guess I think my comment has been overtaken by events.
Okay. I'm still not sure where this leaves us. Yeah.
I think, Keith, it's Chris, I think we have more work to do on this.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure. I mean, Becky and Nigel can bat the ball back between them for days and weeks and months, and that's great for them. Or perhaps not, actually, great for them. But I'm wondering whether we can't do... is it possible for us to do a sort of analysis, a short analysis paper on this?
I think that's where I'm heading towards, is that we need some more work, and if we can't resolve on teleconference, this should become the focal point of Toronto face-to-face.
Yeah.
Because I think quite often these issues are easier to deal with in our room.
We need to go, you're right, and the problem is on telephone calls you get lost. We need to go through, okay, if we say this, then the consequences are this and this and this. If we say that, then the consequences are blah blah blah, and we're not able to do that in conversation on the phone. It needs a whiteboard and some coloured pens and a lot of chat.
Okay. Well, I have a feeling we've gone as far as we can go tonight, so I think and Becky's indicating on the chat that there is an agreed or she agrees we need further analysis. Is anyone dissenting from the view that we should analyse this further before Nigel's agreeing with Chris? Gosh, that's noteworthy all by itself. Okay, let's then park the issue of substantial misbehaviour. And Bernie, what else do we have on our agenda tonight? We have about 30 minutes left on the call. Is there anything else we can tackle and deal with?
Keith, Nigel.
Nigel.
I'm just thinking that as this has been so intense and we've done an hour and a half of the allotted 2 hours, unless there's something that's very small and we can easily dispose of it and uncontroversial, perhaps we can defer anything else to a further occasion?
I'd tend to agree with that if the rest of the group are in agreement. We probably have gone as far as we can. So, Bernie, what's your thoughts? Shall we? Is there anything dead simple and straightforward that we could deal with, or are we into further substantive debates that might require 30 minutes?
I would tend to agree with Mike. I think we've used up a lot of time, and I don't know that there's anything on our agenda, so we can regroup and start working on some of those papers.
Okay. I'll and I see Eberhard agreeing, so I think we will proceed down that path, and let's terminate the call tonight and continue on in 2 weeks' time on our next call. Not hearing anything to the contrary, so we'll proceed down that path. So thank you all for your participation and contributions tonight, and we'll talk again in 2 weeks' time.
Thank
you. Good night, everybody.
Thank you all.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.